Math. You either get it or you don't. At least that's the conventional wisdom. But research shows everyone has the ability to understand math, even calculus and geometry. This morning, as we continue our Edify series, Solving Our Math Problem, WBUR's Tanya Mosley reports on efforts to make students believe they can succeed at math.
I want to teach calculus next year.
The 1988 movie Stand and Deliver is the true story of math teacher Jaime Escalante and his ability to teach poor Hispanic students in Los Angeles high-level math. In this scene, the head of the school's math program tries to convince Escalante, played by actor Edward James Olmos, that some kids just don't have what it takes to excel in math.
Look, these kids come to us with barely a seventh-grade education. Now, there isn't a teacher in this room who isn't doing everything he possibly can.
Students will rise to the level of expectation, Señor Molina.
29 years after this movie, a growing number of teachers are excited by the very idea that most, if not all, kids can do well in math. And this time, the idea is backed by brain science.
You really have to plan carefully, don't you? You really have to think about the balance you need so that the structure doesn't fall down.
I'm here in Brookline at Lawrence Elementary in Mr. Jonathan Norwood's first grade class, and it is game day, a series of four stations where first graders are working with board games and puzzles and blocks. And on the surface, it looks like they're just having fun, but actually what they're doing is geometry.
This is a great opportunity to make sure they're engaged in building and creating and applying.
Norwood loves numbers. He used to work in finance and accounting before becoming a teacher, and he reads a lot of research about teaching methods. He believes that traditional school curriculums don't devote enough time cultivating a love of math early on.
There's very little resources devoted to early mathematical thinking, and that runs counter to the research. It runs counter to what Fortune 500 businesses want in their new employees, and we have to change that mindset.
The research Norwood is talking about comes from two rock stars in the teaching community, Stanford professors Joe Bowler and Carol DeWitt. I caught up with Bowler in Billerica, where she was explaining her theory at a conference of more than 200 middle school teachers. Here, she explains how the right mindset is at the crux of helping kids excel in mathematics.
A growth mindset is when you really believe you can learn anything, and many kids have a fixed mindset about math. They think that they can't learn anything, so we know that kids with a growth mindset do better, persist longer, are more successful. They don't get it, though, just by telling them to have a growth mindset. You have to teach in those ways.
Which is why Jonathan Norwood is so passionate about giving his students in Brookline a good first impression of math. His room looks more like a children's science museum than a typical class. Lots of objects like puzzles and textiles to touch, count, add, and subtract.
5 minutes, guys, and then we're going to switch. When you hear the drama button, we're switching.
But when it comes to cultivating a growth mindset about math, it's not just the kids that Norwood has a challenge convincing. It's the parents.
Their kids are listening to them. Their kids are watching them very carefully. How often do you hear people say, I'm not really that good at math. I was never very good at math.
All the time.
How often do you hear people say, well, I'm not really very good at reading. Was very
not
good
so
at,
much.
Not
right.
so much. Mm-hmm. So that's a simple yet significant example. We have to change teachers' language. We have to change parents' language.
But for most teachers, this process not only requires a shift in mindset, but also a shift in teaching techniques.
-5 and 5, or 5 and -5. Remember that order does not matter.
This is Bridget Adam explaining absolute value to her fifth grade students at Boston Collegiate Charter School. Even though she stands in front of the class, Adam is acting more like a facilitator or moderator than a traditional teacher as her students work out math problems with one another.
I tell parents at the beginning of the school year that, like, my goal is not to have all A students. My goal is to build their confidence.
And she knows she's on the right track when she gets her students talking. Here's a group of boys discussing whether 0 is equal to its absolute value.
Like, 0 is an absolute,
like zero jumps away from zero, so why would
it be in the zero category?
Yeah.
It would be in the
zero category. Right, zero, right?
Adam believes not only do our brains grow when we make mistakes, but discussing math problems and failures out loud with one another can actually help students understand the material better.
I think it's always better for kids to learn from each other. And then the kid who got to help is then solidifying the understanding even more.
Adam's class could easily spend an entire hour talking through one math problem. But one of the downfalls of this way of teaching is that there isn't always time for it. Educators are required to cover lots of topics each year.
It's a hard balance with Common Core and like these rigorous, rigorous standards. But then I don't want them to feel discouraged because things are so hard. I want them to think about the progress they're making. It's a hard balance.
And it becomes even more challenging by the time students get to high school because they often bring with them bad experiences from elementary and middle school.
I'm Caitlin Asphalt. I teach high school math at Canton High School. When I first started teaching Algebra 1, I got this weird perception from my students. They kept saying to me, like, oh, I'm just bad at math. Like, you should know I'm bad at math. And he was shocking to me because it never occurred to me that I was bad at math. So
each year, Asphalt inherits a handful of students who have it in their heads that they are not good at math. Most often, Asphalt says it's because they don't do well on math tests. The first week of school, she keeps things low-key by playing this game called Inspirational Math. It's where kids just play around with numbers, make up their own math problems, and test each other.
Trying to break down the idea that, like, there are good and bad ways to do math, but that, like, everybody here is capable of doing math, and in the fact that we're just playing with it, we are all doing math well.
I need help.
All right, so here, let's do this one, okay? Because we just drew a picture, so why don't you draw that picture for me?
Asphalt doesn't believe teaching a growth mindset offers some sort of magical fix. But some of her students who've entered her class hating math actually leave telling her they enjoyed it. And that's the first step in dispelling the notion of the bad math student. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Tanya Mosley.
So here's my length.
Special funding for Edify provided by Leslie University.